Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon on this Martin Luther King Day special episode of Seth and Sean, backsportspage.com, Blog Sports Radio, and I am back from beautiful 80-degree Puerto Rico to 41 degree Uniondale, Long Island.
Let's go, Islanders!
Where I've just seen the Islanders relive their glory from 1979-80, beating the Flyers 7-4.
Yeah, great. Seth ends his Nassau Coliseum, I guess,
career
with a 2-0 record. Last year, we witnessed the same Islanders beating the Flyers, and I'm not even sure if we had the show that day. We probably did on the way home. And here we are again 1 year later.
Still stuck in the same traffic.
Yeah. Well, Long Island is famous for a couple of things. The Nassau Coliseum is not one of them, but the traffic sure as hell is.
So Seth Kamen, Sean Palmer, a lot to talk about. I guess we start with football.
Yeah, I guess we have to. Vince Wilfork performing superhuman feats. And I don't mean just against the Indianapolis Colts.
Because he didn't need to really have any superhuman feats against the Colts.
True, but somehow he lifted up a truck. What was this? I heard something about this.
Well, I guess my question is, how did you think this would be the more interesting game of the two?
Okay.
What possessed you to say Indy, who lost to every good team this year except for Denver with an injured Manning, by at least 30 points, was going to make this game interesting?
Look, all right. I had some stuff I was doing. And maybe I just told you that.
Bomb chicken bum bum.
Maybe I just
bomb chicken bum bum.
Maybe I just told you that for the sake of telling you that. And it had nothing to do with me thinking it was a more interesting game. Is that possible?
No.
No?
No. You're completely full of bleep.
That's fixed. So anyway, that being said, we're back, and you know, it's funny because when you got the Patriots in it again, and I say again because I'm sick and tired of seeing them in it.
They haven't been in 5 years.
You know, anywhere near the playoffs is in it to me. Well, they're in it. They're not in it. And 2 weeks, they'll be in it again. And, man, how I wish the Jets or any other team was in it this year so I can go down to Glendale since the family lives in the Arizona area and watch the game since I have a ticket and I have a place to stay and I would spend the money on the flight, see the fam and whatnot, but I'm definitely not going to see the Patriots.
Wait, you have a ticket?
I do, if I want it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to go there, so what's the difference?
So if anyone wants to buy Sean's ticket, 760-283-0846.
Or talk anything else about it. So I watched the whole Colts game. I did watch I watched the whole Pats game, right? Because it wasn't really the Colts game. But I watched the whole Pats game. I watched some of the Green Bay game. And you're right, it wasn't a game, right? I mean, the Colts game is definitely not a game. I watched the second half of the fourth quarter of the Green Bay game when I realized that it was so close. That was a game.
That was an abomination.
Well, an abomination I think is a little harsh, right?
Russell Wilson was 2-for-8 with 4 interceptions.
So
how Green Bay was not winning this game by 25? Let's not get into a car accident on the way home.
Yeah, just for those sake, you may hear Veronica telling us directions. That's just the GPS.
That is not Sean's new girlfriend.
No.
Or maybe it is.
Hey, watch that. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, not Sean. Yes, Sean is currently off of the dating market. I apologize to all you 28-year-old brunettes. But
anyway.
However, well, for now, he is off the dating market, dating a very nice girl. Green Bay, 4th and goal at the 1 twice.
Did not see either one of those.
Do you kick a field goal, 4th and goal at the 1?
How much time? What's the scenario?
First quarter. You're trying to
4th and goal at the 1.
Twice.
Right, but you said it's the first quarter.
Right, but twice. Twice it was 4th and goal at the 1.
On the same drive?
No,
or different
two separate drives.
One, the first time I probably kick a field goal, the second time I probably go for it.
Okay. I would have gone for it both times. If this is a pass, you know.
And they kicked the field goal.
They
both
kicked
times?
The field. They kicked an 18 and 19-year field goal.
Wait. Did they start at the 1? Like they were just stopped 3 times at the 1?
No, they motored over them.
And they just so it was 1st and 10 from the 10.
Yeah, 1st and stuff like along those lines.
Huh. And Lacy was able to run the ball over them the entire time.
Lacy ran. James Starks ran.
Well, I heard Kuhn got the touchdown. I get that. I don't know. I mean,
I think if you're playing on the road as an underdog against a team with a phenomenal pass defense, but they're not a world-beating rush defense.
Nope.
You have a top-five running back in Eddie Lacy, or debatably top-five running back in Eddie Lacy. You go for these things.
Okay. Look, I'm not going to argue with you. There was a rat. But I do think that the team that was sweating the most was New England, because I think they were rooting hard for Green Bay. I think they had a much better they have a much better matchup with Green Bay than they do with New England, Seattle. And we'll talk about that more as the next 2 weeks go on. We don't need to talk about that today. But, wow, because I saw Rodgers play a pretty good second half.
He did.
Randall Cobb was phenomenal throughout most of the game.
You know, it came down – Seattle, I don't want to say got lucky, because that's kind of taking it – but the game should not have been that close, where it came down to a botched onside kick recovery by a guy who wasn't supposed to be catching the ball in the first place. He was supposed to be a blocker on the onside kick, Boswick, who's going to kind of go into where Kyle Williams went as the punt returner for the 49ers, who fumbled against the Giants in the NFC title game 3 years ago.
Sure, and then you also have the play that Russell Wilson made, right? That the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Which basically won the game for them, because...
Yes, because they pushed it into overtime.
Pushed it into overtime. Well, it could have been a one-point game, yes. Right? So I started watching it a little bit before that. So, like 5-6 minutes
later. And for all you listeners, I have been giving him grief all day about this.
And deservingly so. Look, I understand that I probably should have been watching the game, and I wasn't. I was cooking.
Bum, chicken, bum, bum.
I was cooking, not cooking. Cooking.
Anyway. So right now, as we said, there's not much really to talk about in regards to New England. New England Indy. New England controlled the game. Indy was never in it. Andrew Luck looked like someone who needed 20 other a brand new supporting cast.
Well, T.Y. Hilton was blanketed by Revis. Right? And
the rest of the team's not that good.
Reggie Wayne is 6 years removed from being a great number two. Right? Hakeem Nicks, for all those people that are in New York, know what type of receiver Hakeem Nicks is. It's just not that good.
Well, he has the last few years, he has fallen off greatly.
Right. Yeah. So I'm saying he's not that
good. He was very good at one point.
And he had a couple of solid games, but at the same time, he's not... He's a number three.
Right.
Maybe a number three. So here you are with Hakeem Nicks being a number three against Brandon Browner. The way that Baltimore was able to take advantage the week before was Steve Smith on Revis, and Smith played very well. But Torrey Smith on Browner was where the matchup favored them.
Yes.
And at this point, Indy just doesn't have it. I wouldn't be surprised if they go for a wide receiver number one in their first round pick.
I would think a wide out or a running back.
You know what? They still have Bradshaw coming back next year. They missed Bradshaw a lot.
They did. Never mention Boom Heron to me again.
Oh, okay. We understand that. He ruined our... He ran very well yesterday.
He ruined our fantasy dynasty.
He did. Dynasty?
It would have been a
dynasty. How was a dynasty 1 year?
We would have been a dynasty, damn it.
Dynasty. Here we go with dynasty. Dynasty talk. We come from the Nassau Coliseum where the dynasty was made.
When you were 3 years old.
Still the diet four. It was okay. Still the dynasty. And now you're talking about a fantasy dynasty?
We were going to be a fantasy dynasty, damn it.
That's fantasy in its own right.
So, again, New England, this is probably the best team they've had since the 07, 18-0 team that lost to the Giants.
Sure.
Defense is solid. Gronkowski is healthy and a beast. They have a five-prong running attack. Pretty much choose your poison. And Seattle, you know, Richard Sherman is injured. Earl Thomas is injured. You know, this will come into play. And yes, the freeway is on the left, ladies and gentlemen.
But this comes back to the same point that I made, I think it was week 9, when LeGarrette Blount was released by Pittsburgh. And I said, why? Why are you doing that? And people were like, well, he missed the practice. He missed the game. He walked off the... I was like, yes. So you suspend him. You don't let him play? You don't let him... You don't release him and let him go to New England? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
And he is exactly what that team needs.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends from Baltimore, having lived in D.C. for 10 years, and all of them, for all intents and purposes, thought that the Ravens
Patriots game was the de facto AFC title game.
Yeah, well.
And they were right.
They were right.
And there's no shock about that, especially considering how Manning, how Manning played week and a day ago. And then and there's actually a lot to catch up, even in regards to the coaching. John Fox, I don't think, was fired when we did this show last week, or was he? He had been fired.
Within 10 minutes.
Right. You know, it took him about 48 hours to find a job.
Well, he found, you know what, though, but he found a job in Chicago, which is probably with the perfect system for him.
Yes.
Right? Now, the question is, what does he do with Jay Cutler? And does Adam Gase become the new offensive coordinator? The likelihood is Adam Gase is probably going to go to Atlanta, where he has a much better system with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. But who becomes the offensive coordinator there? Who works well with him? Looking like a Shanahan's going to wind up in San Francisco, but not as a head coach and not the Shanahan you think.
Well, be kind of Shanahan. Mike Shanahan is not coming back as an offensive coordinator.
Not true. He has interviewed for the offensive coordinator job in San Francisco.
Are you joking?
No, absolutely not joking.
Wow.
And I think there may be a two-pronged thing here, right? So Jim Tomasella, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is now the new coach of the 49ers. The ex-defensive line coach.
Right. He jumped the Vic Fangio.
Fangio.
Okay, Fangio. I apologize for my Italian accent.
Who is now the defensive coordinator of your Washington Redskins?
My Washington Redskins.
Your Washington Redskins. Your
Hail to Michigan.
Which we also don't like. But anyway, but the fact is, so Mike Shanahan has interviewed in San Francisco. Why do you say when he interviewed in San Francisco?
I have no idea.
No real reason. Except for the fact that if Tomasella, who they just hired, doesn't succeed, don't they have then a built-in replacement for Tomasella in Mike Shanahan?
Of course.
Right. Now, who has ever heard of the head coach earning $3 million and the offensive coordinator earning $6
million?
But that may happen.
Yeah.
Because, Kyle Shanahan actually bowed out of the offensive coordinator position for the 49ers, and people were wondering why, and then rumors circle that Mike Shanahan is interviewing. All righty then, and the hits just keep on coming.
I have no response.
But I'd like to give myself some props on this. I did absolutely pick correctly the new defensive coordinator for the Giants.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo comes back, kind of making a full circle. Was the coordinator when they won their title in 08, ended up going to become the head coach of the Rams, who I'm not sure had, at that point had more talent than what's in this car at this point. He went, I think, 10-40, 10-38 there.
But he made a lot of money.
He did make a lot of money. Then he became the defensive coordinator for the Saints for 1 year.
And didn't have a good day.
And they let up more yards than any team in the history of the NFL.
Ungood.
Yes, agreed. Ungood. He was working, I believe, as a defensive backs coach for the Ravens. And now, in a bit of a surprise to me, I did not think they would bring him back. I think it's a very difficult to kind of do that circle. And the talent is much more limited now. I don't see Michael Strahan.
Walking through that door.
OC Uemura,
not walking through that door.
So, yeah, right now, Jonathan Hankins is walking through that door. Not quite the same. But we'll see what happens. I would have liked to have seen Pepper Johnson, another ex-Giant and Belichick disciple, see if he could have gotten the job. He's a defense, did a very nice job with the defensive line of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. And he's been welcomed back onto the Bills, but the Bills really don't have a spot for him.
No.
And that's the other question, right? So Pepper Johnson has said this week that he's being pigeonholed and doesn't really have, because he's not giving an opportunity. And I can appreciate that. He's been a coach for 14 years already.
But has he been a defensive? I mean, he's never been a coordinator.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying. Yeah. They're pigeonholed. And the thing that shocks me is he's been coaching 14 years.
Yeah.
We're old. Wow. 14 years. Pepper Johnson, the outside linebacker for the 1990 and 86 team for the Giants?
The 86 team. The 86 team. He may have been a rookie the 86 team.
I think he was. So I think it was Johnson, Banks,
Taylor and Carson.
And Reese.
No, Taylor. It was. I think,
oh,
no,
Reasons was definitely on.
It was Reasons and Carson's were the starters. Taylor and Banks.
Okay.
So suffice it to say, that was one of the better linebacking foursomes.
Yeah, that team on Spagnuolo would have a great job.
Yeah, That if that came on, I would do a great job. LT.
Yeah.
Get him. Call back.
You ever seen the movie?
Get him.
Now, granted, I'm
pulling, oh, no.
I'm pulling him.
I know where this is going.
He's like the replacements, right? Is that where you're going? No. Replacements. Danny, get me the ball.
Oh.
Get me the ball, Danny.
Oh.
Get me the ball. I got you the ball. Thank you very much. Go sit down.
I thought you were going to discuss the cocaine joke from the water.
Oh, no.
I was watching that in Washington, living in D.C. at that point. And it was not a funny movie, and to a Giant fan, not a particularly funny line. Kind of funny line.
But the replacements were very funny.
It wasn't a very good movie.
Using Jon Favreau to go get the ball was quite funny.
Fair enough.
But anyway.
So there's still some coaching. Ty Bowles, new coach.
Yeah, I was just going to segue into that because Todd Bowles, an ex, also a disciple of Bill Parcells.
Yes.
The defensive backs coach on the Parcells teams, later became defensive coordinator with his Miami Dolphins when he was running that.
Also
ship.
An assistant head coach there.
Assistant, yeah, and also the defensive backs when he was in Dallas.
Yes.
He is the only Pro Bowl safety now coaching in the NFL.
Well, because Herm Edwards never came back, or am I forgetting somebody?
No, he's just the only Pro Bowl safety. And he was a Pro Bowler. Do you remember what team he was on?
I thought he was on the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was, but then he came to the Redskins. He was a Pro Bowl safety with the 1990 Washington Redskins.
Well, yeah, that was the last time, unfortunately, for Redskins fans that you were relevant. And normally I would say that jokingly, but I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but it's pretty
that.
True.
Yeah.
It's pretty true.
An interesting hire because it almost leaves them in a similar situation to what they have with Buddy Ryan. Rex Ryan. I realize every week I make this mistake. A defensive coach.
Right. Different type of coach.
Different type, a little bit more calm.
But much more blitz happy, which makes me very happy.
Yes. Although you have such a solid defensive line, who knows how much you're going to need to blitz.
True.
You would need a better secondary because you don't have one right now.
We don't have. You and I can play secondary.
Yeah. V. Milner is walking through that door.
Yeah. He's walking through that door with a torn Achilles.
I was going to say on a limp. Darrell Revis is not walking through that
you
door
never,
anytime.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. The Jets during the press conference with Tom Bowles, Woody Johnson gave a lot of nice compliments to Darrell Revis, and unfortunately that has them now in hot water.
That's okay. Woody can afford it.
Yeah, probably.
So, Ty Bowles comes in. Again, we still have no idea where you are in regards to
offense. Well, supposedly Chan Gailey is making a return. I don't see that as a huge deal. But you know what? He has groomed some really nice quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I
don't believe they were running quarterbacks, though.
No, and that's an issue. Look, do you believe in the old guard or do you want the new guard, right? At this point, do you want a newbie? Do you want a guy that's been successful? I think Chan Gailey's kind of a mix of both. He's old and he's been successful.
That's probably a pretty good mix if you're going to take it.
Oh, yeah.
Better to be old and successful than young and, well, not successful.
Not successful, but you need to be given a shot.
Yes.
But the question is, would they have, like, a Pepper Hamilton or something like that to be...
Pep Hamilton.
Pep Hamilton. To be the coach, and then you would have, like, an offensive mind frame.
But I guess I wonder about that. I know he has been interviewed, but I look at the, Colts offense.
Yeah.
And
it's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, it's Andrew Luck. I don't quite see, T.Y. Hilton's obviously become a solid number one receiver.
Sure.
But I don't see, kind of similar to Jay Gruden becoming the coach of the Redskins, I don't quite get it. Why, what Pep Hamilton has done, and I may be off, because I'm not in Chuck Pagano's locker room. I'm not quite sure what Pep Hamilton would have done to warrant that job.
What I don't understand is why the Jets, now, we all know I'm a Jets fan. We all know
wah,
a Mets.
Wah.
We all know I'm a Mets fan. We all wah, know I'm an Islanders fan. Why the Jets, more than any other team? Look, the Islanders seem to have a coach that is being very successful right now, Jack Capuano,
mm-hmm.
who was a minor league coach that has come up. And he's done very well.
Although he's taken some time to build it.
Agreed. Why the Jets can never hire that young coordinator and actually succeed?
Well, kind of like what
right.
you think the Giants have done with Ben McAdoo.
Right.
That even if it doesn't work, it looks like it was the right hire.
Right. The Jets never make what I call the right hire. Ever. The last offensive guy that they hired, I believe, was Bruce Coughlin.
That was not the right hire.
Right, but he was the up and coming
coordinator. He was the Cincinnati Bengals coordinator under Sam Wyatt.
And then Pete Carroll was the up and coming defensive coordinator from the Vikings. So they, but they can never get that higher. They can't get the Chuck Pagano.
No,
right? They can never get that guy. They can never get the Joe Philbin. Who, granted, you know what? Joe Philbin has done a good job with a lot of.
Turmoil,
that was the word I'm looking for. But they can never get that type of guy. They can't get the Gary Kubiak.
Yeah,
right?
Which surprised me they didn't go after him.
No, they did. He declined the interview.
Well, that's right. That says a lot in itself.
Agreed.
Kubiak now pretty much has his dream job. For those of you who remember, Gary Kubiak was the backup.
For John Elway.
John Elway forever in Denver.
He never played.
Nope. Best job in the world.
Jason Garrett.
Exactly. And he'll be making, he's signed a 4-year deal.
Oh, he did sign?
Yeah, signed supposedly today.
Oh.
Or supposed to sign today.
I missed that one.
No, supposed to sign tomorrow.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, to be the new head coach of Denver. It'll be interesting to see if Peyton comes back, where we stand with Peyton.
Julius Thomas, both who are free agents. Wes Welker thinks he may not be back. What do they do with their running back situation, right?
You have
Jay Anderson, Monte Ball, Ronnie Hillman. How many backs can you have in a backfield? Ask New England, they have like 12.
Yeah.
Thank you, Veronica.
Cuckoo, get you, Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, yeah, sure.
What else is open? Atlanta is still open.
I think it's Dan Quinn's
job.
Or it's the guy from
Detroit,
who's saying...
Terrell Austin, who said he would bring
Adam Gase.
Which kind of makes sense.
Sounds like a good combo to me.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Gase as a head coach at this point. Because, you know, coaching Peyton Manning is kind of the equivalent of, well, I don't really know what it's the equivalent of. It can't be that hard to coach Peyton Manning.
Right.
So, you know, if he was thought of that highly, don't you think he would have been a head coaching candidate in Denver?
Right. And the other thing is that not only did Austin say that he could bring him, but also Dan Quinn said he could bring Gase too.
Well,
so the question is, which one do they want? Do they want to wait till the end of the Super Bowl, which is 2 weeks away? At this point, I really don't think it matters.
No, because at this point, since you've already waited,
yeah,
another week's not going to make a significant difference, I don't believe.
I agree. And I believe the NFL does not permit hirings during the week of the Super Bowl.
I agree.
So
I think you're right as well, I should say. One other interesting candidate, although you mentioned Mike Shanahan, which absolutely shocks me. Lane Kiffin.
Now going to be offensive coordinator where?
Leading candidate for offensive coordinator in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah.
Love that one.
Yeah, because 1 year, because he can't play anywhere more than 1 year.
Because it works so well with the Raiders.
Yeah.
And then with Tennessee.
Well, yeah.
And USC.
And then USC. But he was successful this year in Alabama. Leading them to an 11-2, you know, he was very successful. That team, even though they lost to eventual champion Ohio State, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. They lost, scoring 35 points a game with a mediocre quarterback. And I think Kiffin stays another year or two. But supposedly he's a leading candidate there, and I don't know who the heck knows what he's thinking.
He's thinking, where can I get ahead?
Well, he can get ahead right where he is right now.
I think it really depends on what type of job he wants, right? I mean, does he want a pro job or does he want a college job? And if you want the college job, he's where he is. If you want the pro job, I'm not sure he's wrong.
Yeah. But I think he's a college coach. I don't see him at this point as a pro coach.
Okay.
Talking a little bit of college football, the team I did not think belonged in the championship.
Won
the championship. Ohio State behind Ezekiel Elliott, who nobody had heard of a month ago, or Cardale Jones, who nobody had heard of a month ago, win the national title in a relatively convincing 41-20 victory over Oregon. My Big Ten, for as much grief as they've received, including from me.
Wait, I was going to say, you're Big Ten?
I am now Big Ten.
Wow, I don't think I'd ever hear those words.
Look at my teams right now.
Look, I get it, but my Big Ten coming from your mouth.
It does make me throw up a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Look, I get it. I look at the ACC standings, and I'm like, excuse you?
Yeah. But Wisconsin beats Auburn.
Big Ten.
Wisconsin beats Auburn. A little bit fluky, but beats Auburn. Michigan State beats Baylor. A little bit spooky.
We're talking basketball now.
No, we're talking football. And Ohio State wins the national championship. Good year. I mean, I'm always big on Big Ten basketball, down on Big Ten football. Maybe I shouldn't be that big down on Big Ten football.
No, I mean, look, Ohio State did everything they needed to do, right? They won that game. There was no controversy. They won that game.
Yes.
Cordell Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had an amazing game. Well, stock probably couldn't have been any higher.
No, it could have been, which is why he went back.
I'm not sure his stock could be any higher.
No,
really?
Kiper said, I mean, again, Mel Kiper from ESPN.
Sure.
They've all said that he is a potential top five, top ten pick, but, you know, needing three.
He's got to start first.
Well, that's why he went back.
I'm going to start next year.
I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen. I think Braxton Miller probably ends up changing position.
Or transferring.
Or transferring. We've heard Florida State. We've heard Notre Dame.
Start Texas and LSU, too.
Yeah, I mean, because anyone, Maryland would be more than happy to take him.
Syracuse will be happy to take another fifth-year transfer.
Exactly. But they have JT Barrett, who is the Big Ten Player of the Year. And they have Cordell Jones. As we almost get killed by a Nissan Sentra. I don't think we've seen teams with a 2QB controversy. I don't know if we've ever seen a team with a 3QB controversy.
Well,
before.
But is it really fair to say it's a controversy? I mean, it's not anybody's fault, right?
No, it's not anybody's fault.
This is a plethora of riches.
It's overwhelming talent. You have Braxton Miller, the 2012 and 2013 Player of the Year.
Sure.
You have JT Barrett, the 2014 Player of the Year, who only played because Braxton Miller got hurt.
Yep.
And then you have Cardale Jones, who only came in because JT Barrett got hurt and promptly leads them to three games scoring more than 40 points and winning a national title. That's not a triumvirate of quarterbacks you see very rarely on the same team.
Total embarrassment of riches.
There you go.
And it's generally what happens when you're in a Texas or in an LSU or in a Florida, but it's very rare to see that in a Midwest team.
Yes.
Right? I mean, because most of the recruits are from Texas or Florida. I don't remember ever hearing of a three-headed quarterback controversy.
No.
Especially in the Midwest.
Yeah, Cardell Jones having a press conference a little bit ridiculous. And he said afterwards, he goes, I did not want to hold this press conference. I'm not sure why I had to hold this press conference.
You didn't.
He did have a press conference.
No, but he didn't have to hold it.
Yeah. I think it was requested of him, which I find weird.
Some people close to him said he should hold a press conference, so he did.
Yeah. It makes me think he's going to get wonderful advice once he gets
there. Well, and I think this is like, maybe this is like his barometer, right? Where he's learning, maybe I shouldn't be listening. Like, maybe it's not the best thing to listen to all these people. I'm okay where I am. And I think that's a good, look, it's a good lesson, right? You learn who to listen to and who not to listen to, and this was one of those instances where you...
On to the coach,
yeah,
Urban Meyer, three championships.
Yeah.
Well,
impressive.
Stunning. 38-2 in his 3 years at Ohio State. Supposedly, he seems in a very good place. Would you like to see him take a run at the pros?
No. Look, I like college coaches to stay in college. I don't think that they need to be in the pros.
You don't think Bobby Petrino needed to be in the pros?
I think Bobby Petrino needed a whole lot, but not in the pros.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're going to the Grand Central Parkway.
Bobby Petrino is an interesting character, but not a pro coach.
That's what D'Angelo Hall said. D'Angelo Hall speaks.
Everybody listens. He's like E.F. Hutton.
Exactly. For those of you, most of you, sadly, we are old enough that most of you do not know who E.F. Hutton is.
Which is lovely. There was an old commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens.
Right.
E.F. Hutton used to be, I think, financial services,
they
right?
were.
Yes. They were and are not anymore?
I do not believe so. I've not seen a commercial for them in 25 years.
Thus, from our financial advisor.
That would be me. Yes, and if anyone needs that, should I do a commercial for myself?
760-283-0846.
There you go. It is nice. It is, as a Maryland fan, it's not exactly like I love Mike Krzyzewski, but I think there's a lot to be said for him turning down 27 different overtures and saying it to Duke.
Sure.
Tom Izzo turning down overture at Michigan State.
Sure.
Although I think this year he may be regretting it because this year that team is just not very good.
Well, but you know what? But it's the same thing as like a Boeheim, right?
Right.
I mean, these guys are their schools.
Yes.
And to me, that says a lot more about their character than if they go jumping for money like Lon Kruger did. Lon Kruger...
But Lon Kruger was never going to be anybody.
What, the Florida coach?
Yeah, but it was Florida's not a football school. Not a basketball school.
Right, but he could have been associated with them for the rest...
Well, think about it. As great a coach as Billy Donovan is,
right.
Billy Donovan is probably a top 5 to 10 coach in college basketball.
Sure, absolutely.
He's won, what, 3 titles? 2 titles.
Okay.
2 titles, been to a plethora of Final Fours, Final Eights.
Sure.
It's still a football school.
Okay. But
and
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that is it possible that he could have stayed there the rest of his time, that as long as he wanted to?
I don't think he was that coach.
Okay.
I think that's a special coach, and I'm not sure that Lon Kruger, and nothing against Lon Kruger, who is successful at Florida, will be successful.
He's at UNLV,
UNLV
now.
Right now. He was successful at Oklahoma. I think it was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's at Oklahoma now. I don't think he was at UNLV and he
right.
went to Oklahoma.
You're right.
I don't think he's that caliber of coach.
Okay. I'm just saying that I like coaches that don't jump for riches. Like, you make enough money where you are. You don't.
They all do.
I mean, you don't need to be jumping all the time.
That is true.
Show some loyalty to your school.
Be true to your school.
Now, the other thing is, and I'm not sure, did Izzo go to Michigan State?
I don't know, but he's from Michigan.
Okay, so there's that, right?
Yes.
So that has to be constructed into this conversation, right? Because Boeheim went to Syracuse, right? He's been a Syracuse boy since he was 20. Or 18, right?
Yes.
Played on the team. Izzo's from Michigan, so he has that going for him. I don't know what Krzyzewski's tie to Duke ever was.
There was none. Krzyzewski went to Army.
Right, I knew that.
And he's from Chicago, I believe.
And coached at Army.
Yes.
Right,
and
under
then,
Bobby Knight.
Well, under Bobby Knight, and then he coached at, you know, he was the head coach.
Right.
He played under Bobby Knight at Army. And then he became the head coach at Army, and then Knight recommended him for the job.
Oh, okay. That's how that happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, schools that have their coaches that have some attachment.
Right.
It's always nice to keep that attachment.
That's it.
Going.
I mean, you know, Maryland had Gary. Now,
right.
Gary didn't start off at Maryland, but, you know, when he went there in 88, 89, they were a horror show because of what happened with Len Bias and everything else. And I guess it was probably late 80s, early 90s. And it was actually Bob Wade also, who followed Gisele and who was a disaster. And, you know, there was never a thought that he would ever leave.
Right.
He made Maryland his university.
Right.
In the last 4 years, unfortunately, they've been unable to get away from that shadow. This year, you know.
Well, this year they're very good.
Yeah. Preseason, you know, nowhere land, 5 transfers, but would probably the number 2 freshman in the country in Melo Trimble, 17-2 and top 10.
I am just got to beat Illinois.
That's all right. We'll play them again.
You will. And look, Big Ten is a good school, a good conference for basketball. We've always said this, right? They're underrated for basketball. I'm not sure how underrated they are this year.
I think they're
on the same par as where they should
right.
be. Michigan being a little bit down.
Everybody's down. Ohio State losing Aaron Kraft a little bit down. Wisconsin's very good.
And who to rise to the top? Your Maryland Terrapins, the beacon of the
leading in men's basketball, leading in women's basketball. What more can I ask for? Okay.
So hold on a second. Before we get off of college sports, because I think we need to stay a little bit longer on. So something came down this past week. All right. Joe Paterno. Okay. Reinstatement of all the victories. Okay. Reinstatement of the scholarships. That money goes only to Pennsylvania. And the NCAA has... It's been decided through this settlement that they overreached. And by overreach, I mean you reached into California where you were in New York. Like, they were so far overreaching, it's impossible to deal with. What are your feelings on that? Because I remember the day that we went on the air.
It was a good show.
It was the day the free report went out.
Yes.
Okay. I had read it on my way home. We talked about it. And at that time, I think we both agreed that we liked the penalties.
Right.
And here we are, 4 years later, where it's been ruled that...
Wait, we've been hosting the show for 4 years?
Maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
Later. 3 years later. and we're seeing that the free report was overreaching. Maybe the penalties from resulting from that. At the time, we liked the penalties.
Yes.
Were we overreaching as well?
I think we were caught up in the emotion of what happened.
Okay.
I think, kind of thinking back in retrospect, that it's very difficult to penalize a university for the, you know, Joe Paterno is dead.
Yes.
Jerry Sandusky is in jail.
Yes.
Every, you know, the Penn State upper people are all gone.
Sure. Graham Spainer,
yeah,
et cetera.
Exactly. To penalize everybody else that really wasn't involved for an extended period of time probably doesn't make sense.
Well, I think we agreed at the time that the scholarship should not have been taken away, right?
We didn't have as much issue with the fine. We had more of the issue with the scholarships.
Well, we both agreed that Joe Paterno's victory should be taken away.
Yes.
And now they're reinstated, right? Is it on him? Because that's on him, right? That's nobody else. That's not a Penn State issue. Although, I guess it is, because they took away the victories from Penn State as well. But nobody is going to bat for Penn State to reinstate those victories for any other reason than to get Joe Paterno that record.
I think what happens is time eases most things. Easiest example is almost his girlfriends or boyfriends, where you have a severe hatred over something that happens. Not that it's ever happened to me, of course.
Never.
Never.
Never, ever.
Not a chance.
No.
You know, and then over years...
Boy, get married.
Yeah, getting married. I think I'm getting married.
You're getting married.
All right. I'm getting married.
Married?
Married? Is it an institution?
No. Oh, no, you weren't even going with the right movie.
Well,
married?
Howie? Oh, that was 16 Candles.
Yeah,
I was going with the
baseball. I know where you are. Dog. Anyway, dog.
Automobile?
Automobile?
Probably shouldn't be doing that while driving the car. right. If we get pulled over, I will laugh my ass off.
Dirty words.
Well.
Not one of the seven.
I understand.
Anyway.
What was I going to say? I think time does heal a lot of wounds.
Okay.
I think... when you think back to Joe Paterno, you're never going to think about him without what happened. That was, you know, forgetting that they reinstated the victories.
I agree.
It'll
with that.
Never
his
legacy is permanently tarnished.
Okay.
And I think the rest of it's relatively irrelevant. He did win the games. Call it what it, you know, to vacate the games doesn't really mean anything in a lot of ways.
I agree with you. Look. And we were caught up in emotion. I do think it was his fault.
Yeah.
Okay, I do think that there was a gross miscarriage of justice that was going on at the time.
Yes.
And could he have caught all this?
Yes.
Okay, he was the biggest guy on the school.
Did he functionally understand what was going on?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? We're not in his head. But at the same time, it wasn't like there was somebody ineligible on the field.
Yes.
Right? Joe Paterno was not ineligible.
No.
Jerry Sandusky was not ineligible.
There were no recruiting violations.
Right. There was something that was done wrong that was...
Yes.
Just because O.J. Simpson got arrested and is now in jail and may have or may not have killed two people doesn't
may
mean
not
that...
Have. Oh, okay.
It was not
found guilty
by a court of law. So may or may not have.
That doesn't mean his Heisman Trophy should be vacated.
Exactly. Now, Reggie Bush took money.
Yes.
And it's been proven that he took money.
Hence why it's vacated.
He's ineligible, and thus the award should be vacated.
Listen to you, lawyer boy.
Every once in a while.
Now, does he actually still have the trophy?
OJ? I think he sold the trophy.
No, I know OJ sold the trophy, but does Reggie Bush still have it?
So Reggie Bush, I believe, had to return the trophy by X date. I don't remember what X date was. But,
okay.
But I know
you... I'm sure you made a copy of it.
No, USC actually returned the copy.
Really?
Yeah, USC does not have it as part of their possession thing. No. I know where I'm going.
Okay.
The one thing I know is how to drive. So
that's the one thing he knows, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to comment on anything else that he knows, 760-283-0844.
Or I don't know.
We can talk a lot about what he doesn't know.
Talk to Rachel.
All right.
She'll tell you everything I don't know.
There you go. New girlfriend. Sorry, 28-year-old brunette. He's off the market for now. So anyway. At least you called her Rachel, not Carly. That was
quite
funny.
Well, I call Carly Rachel. Yeah.
Rachel is Carly.
We love you, Carly.
Yeah, we love you.
Love you, Carly.
Love you, hon. Okay. So anyway, big baseball signing.
Couple of them.
Max Scherzer, $497 billion.
$1 billion!
$210 million, $185 in $185 million in current value.
Yes.
$210 playing in the time value of money to Washington.
Look at you, accountant boy.
There we go. You know, Scott Boras seems to pretty much have an ownership in Washington.
He has Ian Desmond, Bryce Harper, I think Doug Fister, definitely Jordan Zimmerman, now Max Scherzer. He has Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
He has Wilmington Ramos. Yeah,
he has 19.5% of the team.
Yeah. He has Zimmerman, too.
Who may very well be traded.
No, the other Zimmerman.
Oh, I thought Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan Zimmerman.
He has Ryan Zimmerman.
Okay, not Jordan.
He has Jordan Zimmerman as well.
Jordan Zimmerman may be traded.
Yes, but I think it's Strasburg that they're going to look to trade.
That could be. So what this? How this plays in is...
They have a great rotation.
They have a great rotation. And the argument made about why you give Scherzer this much money at age 30 in a 7-year contract. And I read this because we both know everyone who knows the show knows that I do not know baseball like Sean knows baseball. Is they compared him to Verlander and they compared him to James Shields, who is still a free agent.
Fantastic. So Verlander's contract looks awful.
I agree. Can I finish what I was
saying? Sure, go for it.
The number of innings that Scherzer has pitched is significantly less.
Absolutely. He's only had one complete game in his entire career.
Meaning that the possibility that his arm could go longer is yada, yada, yada. Yep. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's the argument that was brought into play.
I agree.
Now, to me, $185 million, there's only one, there's only one pitcher that good, and he already makes that much money, and he pretty much took a discount of $215 million, and his name is Clayton Kershaw.
Yep.
That being said, Scherzer is a top five pitcher in the league who was pitching in the American League. Now, going to the National, who knows how much success he could have there.
Yep.
But the history of 7-year contracts with pitchers,
yep,
ungood, to quote my partner.
Ungood.
CC Sabathia.
Ungood. Mike Hampton.
Really ungood. Denny Nagel. Beyond ungood.
After he solicited the prostitute.
Well, him and Greg Anthony may be sharing some...
sure, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Greg Anthony really throwing away a phenomenal career. Well done,
we'll
sir.
Get to that in a second. He said he slipped.
The money slipped out of his hand. The zipper slipped out of his place.
You don't have to unzip to solicit.
That is true. he was supposed to be working the Maryland Michigan State game.
I have to believe he didn't work that game.
He did not work anything.
Or her.
There you go.
But anyway, back to what we were saying. So Max Scherzer, $210 million. Worth it? I don't know. I mean, look, like Seth just said, the history of pitchers with 7-year deals is so awful.
Yeah.
You're paying for the front end, and you're going to get raped. Sorry, that's the wrong word.
That's a bad word.
It's the wrong
word. If anyone wants to call in and criticize Sean for his usage of his verbiage, 760-284-0844.
All right, wrong word. You are going to get pillaged.
Okay.
Maybe. On the back end. I mean, it is just awful.
Now, to be fair, he, as you said, he has less wear and tear. Wear and tear.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He is in his prime.
He is. So I say for the first 3 years.
The first 3 or 4 years, I think this makes sense.
Yeah.
The problem is you're not getting him for less than 7 years. Because Detroit offered him, I think it was 7 and 180, 7 and 160.
Okay.
And there was supposedly another team out there. We don't know who.
Well, you know what? Then you walk away. That's where I'm basically at this point.
Well, I guess,
right?
I'm a little confused. Now, you're more of a baseball guy than I am, but I'm knowledgeable enough to know Washington is very, very good.
Yes.
Couldn't their money, considering their staff, Strasburg, Zimmerman, Gonzalez, Fister.
Was there anywhere else to put their money is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, okay, so they're easily the top choice in the NL East.
Yes.
Easily, right? So their staff is amazing right now. I mean, mm-hmm. They don't even have a place for what would be a number three starter on most teams. But you can never have too much pitching. We've learned that, right? So their starting five right now is Scherzer, Strasburg, Zimmerman, Gonzalez, Fister, right? Of that five, two of them are a free agent after this year. One is a free agent the year after. So the question is, would you be able to re-sign those guys anyway? And the answer is probably not. They tried to re-sign Zimmerman, and he balked. So
how much is Zimmerman going to be looking at? I mean, he's
a Leicester contract.
He's in his late 20s.
He'll be 27.
Yeah.
The Leicester contract.
And so you're looking at 6 years, buck 40.
Yeah, I'm thinking even more. 6 years and like a buck 50, maybe a buck 60. Yeah, about 26. That look, we're in the new realm of contracts, right? Each contract goes up a little bit. Now we're in the boom. Now, last year, baseball had a $2.1 billion profit. Profit! It's a $6 billion industry. Yeah, exactly. That's hitting his head. Why couldn't we be lefty and pitchers, right? And that's just the way it's going to be. So when you're looking at, that's why I thought that the David Price signing or David Price acquisition last year was worth it to Detroit, because they covered their butts for this, right? So they lost Max Scherzer, but they have David Price. So Scherzer was signed for $30 million a year. Price is getting 19
this year.
Okay, so if they save the 11 and then re-sign Price, they make it out. Now, do they have one last pitcher? Yes. Did they give up a whole lot to get Price? Not really. They gave up Drew Smyly and Austin Jackson. Okay. No,
it is what it is.
Right. So at the same time, I think it's ridiculous. I hope the Mets never sign another pitcher like that again.
Well, luckily you have enough pitchers. It's seeming like, knock on wood, because you, of course, are
the Mets.
The Mets. And about 15, 20 years ago, you had, what was it, Generation K? With Bill Pulsifer.
Uh-huh. Jason Isringhausen.
And Paul Wilson.
Paul Wilson.
Yep. That didn't work out too well.
Uh-uh. Ungood.
We've used a lot of ungoods.
We have. Well, we've described a lot of ungood situations.
There you go.
So, yeah. So then there's that. So there have been a couple of signings. Oyoka signed with San Francisco this past week. I think that was a good sign. You have no idea what I'm talking about there.
Nope.
The right fielder for Kansas City.
Oh, Aoki.
Aoki. Ayoka. Aoki.
If there are any fans of Japanese descent who want to make fun of Sean and criticize him severely, 760-283-0800.
I'm getting a lot of criticism today.
You are.
You're a bomber.
That is a terrifying looking man who's now chasing the car. I'm kidding. Okay. Of course, we're at a red light, so if he was, we would probably be dead.
Ungood.
Because there'd be nobody to host the show and nobody to
drive my car home.
Car or to handle a lot
of
stuff.
We are right outside the industrial park, so nobody will miss us.
That's true.
We will be
buried in cement with Jimmy Hoffa. So this, I'm hoping this is, for some of you, this is your first time listening. This is a pretty fun show.
It's entertaining at the least. So we've covered football. We have the NBA. So Seth and I were talking about this a little bit ago. Is there any less relevant All-Star game than this year's NBA All-Star game?
Meet the Knicks. Meet the Knicks. No one will be there, but meet the Knicks. Yeah, I mean, it's in New York. It's in at the Barclays Center.
No, it's at MSG.
Was it MSG?
So the NBA decided in their infinite wisdom, and there's a lot of infinite wisdom going on with the NBA this year, is that, okay, so we're going to have two All-Star games in New York. We're going to have one in 2015 and one in 2017. In 2015, we're going to have the game at MSG. We're going to have the events at Barclays.
Oh.
Then in 2017, we're going to have the events at MSG and the game at Barclays. Because both teams sunk $1 billion into their stadiums. So we have to reward them with something.
But you know what? That $1 billion didn't buy the Knicks or the Nets.
Victory!
Talent!
Victory! And Mikhail Prokhorov is not looking to cash in.
Well, to be fair, well, first of all, the Russian ruble has dropped about 9 zillion percent, so he's only worth like $800 million, poor guy. Also,
he's going to make about $1 billion.
Make more than that. You know, if you're, you know, he promised 5 years ago that the team would unquestionably win a championship. Unfortunately,
they did. They won the luxury tax championship.
There you go. Unfortunately, when the best, you know, I mean, I don't want to criticize Billy King, but you almost kind of have to. At what point was bringing in this talent going to win you a championship?
No.
It was a
Not
bunch of
East last year.
It was a bunch of old guys.
And you gave away your whole future, which is, so the Nets don't have a first-round pick. Well, they have one next year, which Bucks can flip.
Right.
Then they have one, 2 years, three years from now, which the Celtics can flip. So basically, they won't have a good first round draft
right until
2020.
I'm celebrating my 44th birthday.
Wow.
44 is a cool number, though.
That is. That's Reggie's number.
It's also Syracuse's game.
Okay. Jim Brown. So, you know, Hal Billy King has a job at this point, to be honest.
Oh, you won't have a job when the new owner comes in.
Most likely not. But we probably should talk a little bit about the, probably, what, outside of Kansas City Royals, what must be the biggest shock in the professional sports realm of 2014. And that's the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, I was like, where are you going with this?
The Atlanta Hawks have been irrelevant for 15 years, 20 years.
Yeah, until this past summer where they were incredibly relevant when some email came out.
For the wrong, yeah, not a great year for the Duke alumni GMs.
No.
But they were always the 6 or 7 seed who...
Yeah, Billy King went to Duke.
He did.
Yeah.
He played with Danny Ferry, actually.
He did.
You know, a team that was always the 6 seed, the 7 seed, would win a game, and that was it.
Yep.
And
last year they played pretty well.
Yeah, they didn't have much talent. Horford, Al Horford, their best player, was out for the year.
With a really nasty injury.
Yeah. And we were, you know, and from there. So.
You know, sometimes, Seth, your friends will just have. Seth's getting a call on his phone, and
it's my. It is now officially my busy season.
But right now we're busy.
Yeah. I can't argue with that logic. Anyway, Atlanta, again, expected to do pretty much nothing this year.
Oh, expected to do what they normally do.
6th or 7th place in the East, lose
right.
the first
well,
round.
The East stinks. So, yeah, 6th or 7th place right behind the Nets.
Right. Or ahead of the Nets. But this hasn't quite played out that way. Atlanta's won 26 out of 28.
They're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, they've beaten all the Western teams. And they still barely have an all-star.
No, they,
Jeff Teague.
Look, they have the most underrated player in the NBA.
Jeff Teague?
No. Al Horford is the most underrated player in the NBA.
And now that
has been for the last five years.
And now that he's fully recovered from his injury.
He's a monster inside.
You know, this is a team that played, you know, Mike Budenholzer, who is the head coach. Yes, I did pronounce that correctly.
I laugh every time I hear it.
Budenholzer?
Budenholzer.
Oh, there you go. He sounds like a guy from Animal House.
He does.
Greg Popovich from San Antonio's lead assistant.
Shocking, they're just the same
and
team.
And guess what? They play the same way.
And they win.
They do. They beat everybody. And they are running away with the East. The East, not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
And the team that we thought that was going to be running away with them is not as good as we thought they were.
Neither of them. The two teams I think everyone thought were the consensus favorite in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Chicago, Joakim Noah's had some health problems.
And Cleveland may be a Budenholzer.
Wow. I think we still got to give Cleveland a little bit more time.
Sure. I mean, look, even Miami, when 4 years ago when LeBron went there, I love how we call him LeBron. When LeBron went there, we don't use his last name.
No.
When LeBron went there, it took them a year, right? It took
well, they
them
still
a year.
Went to the they went to the finals in their first year,
right? But it took them a year to really be cohesive, right? The problem is with the Cavaliers is they don't have a year, right? Because LeBron could opt out, not going to, could opt out. Kevin Love is going to opt out. So
most
the question
likely.
Is whether he stays or not. They just gave up 2 first round picks for Timothy Moskov, who. Oh. I'll tell you right now, as a Knicks fan, that pisses me off because he gave him up in the Carmelo trade for nothing.
I've seen Timothy Moskov.
Yeah. He's okay. Look,
he's fine.
He's what they need, right? He's a guy in the middle.
He's fine.
He's fine. He's average. He's serviceable. But after losing Anderson Varejao, you needed serviceable.
Yes.
Right. So the fact of the matter is they got a serviceable big man. They have no bench. They just traded Deion Waiters. They got J.R. Smith. Have fun with that one! And Iman Shumpert, which, good 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
Who can't hit the 3? That's a problem when
but
you're a 3-and-D
awesome
guy.
Haircut.
He does. He's got the best afro ever, except for the guy that's going to Syracuse next year.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. It's a pretty sweet deal. We'll talk about that next week. I think we may have the best afros next week.
I can do some research on that.
Right, because the fact of the matter is...
And we can talk about...
We don't have the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we can talk about the evolution of the afro.
Ah,
well.
There we go. Oscar Gamble.
There you go. Mickey Rivers.
He is the best ever. Oscar Gamble's baseball cards.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, so the fact is Cleveland has gotten a bunch of pieces. Now the question is, can they put the puzzle together? I'm not sure. That team looks in disarray. Like complete disarray. And it looks like LeBron's coaching.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, which I don't quite understand, David Blatt I thought was a solid choice.
Yeah.
You gotta listen to the coach.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he just doesn't have the credibility. Also, maybe David Griffin, first year GM, Dan Gilbert obviously has been the owner for a while, but has certainly not done some great things. Has made the structure.
He wrote a really bad letter once.
He did write a bad letter. Did it start with "There once was a man from Pawtucket"?
It should have. with what he wrote, it would have
been better off that way.
Yeah.
Miami had Riley and had Mickey Harrison, who also wrote a relatively not nice text a week ago about LeBron.
But they had some structure.
Right.
Right now, the Cavs don't have it.
Right. And, until they establish that credibility, and look, you can't count out a team that has three top 20 players in the league.
No.
But
they have to learn to play some defense.
Yeah. And we'll see where it takes us. So
we got like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. You can go after. So congratulations to my New York Islanders. Congratulations to Seth Kamens going 2-0, a perfect 2-0 in his Nassau Coliseum ventures. And I'm always happy to bring him along because I know I'm pretty much guaranteed to win. At least at the Nassau Coliseum. Mm. Anyway. So good show. Really had fun with this one. We're back in the city from the Nassau Mausoleum. Just a little shout out to my grandparents. I hope you guys are feeling better. I know I spoke about this last week. You guys are my rocks. You are my inspiration. And I'll see you guys soon. And I really hope you get better. So I'll talk to you guys in a little bit. Scott, you're up.
Yeah, I was going to kind of give a shout out to Sean's grandparents also. When you live 2,500 miles away, it does make things. I'm lucky that I have most of my family is right in the vicinity, and it's tough to be the rock for a family when you live 3,000 miles from the family.
Sure.
And Sean has always been that for his parents and for his mom, and his grandparents. And I certainly wish them the best.
Dankeschön.
Yeah. On a more fun note,
yay!
The wedding venue.
Hey! Yeah. Puerto Rico, baby.
There we go. It looks like sometime in the end of June, I'll be no longer be Mr. Cayman.
Dun, 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 dun.
But we may do a show from Puerto Rico.
That would be awesome.
Because we may be at the airport, but we can do a show. We can do an early show.
Yeah.
We can do a show for the beach.
Oh, we're definitely doing a show for the beach, provided that the new Mrs. Caymans allows us to do it.
Of course she will.
You know what?
She may appear on the show.
Yes, we will have a guest host that day.
Yeah, we will be bringing in various people.
It's true.
There will be a lot of hungover people who will be looking at us like, what are these idiots doing?
On the beach with two cell phones.
Yes. Because this is how much we love this show.
We love doing this.
Look, if you had your choice of being a lawyer, me being an accountant, or hosting a sports radio show,
ladies and gentlemen,
what would you all do? And there's 90 seconds left. John Jones, not good.
Ungood.
Ungood.
Let's end this with another ungood.
Yeah, the number one, the best fighter in the world, found for cocaine, which is...
just a great skier.
Yeah. You know this?